Okay, good morning, everybody. Good morning, good noon, whatever. We're going to talk a little about the parsha because I got a lot of time to prepare a shiur. How long? Half an hour? I think it's okay. So, we're talking a little about the parsha, Parashat Eket. It's a lot to talk on any of the parashiot, but I want to first of all to start with one of our, let's say, one of the points that our fight is really sometimes almost impossible, because living in this world, sometimes we think that we control things and we do things, but the real truth is that we do nothing. This is a film. We are in a film that was produced already and was directed by God himself, and he knows exactly what's going to happen, and our only job is Va'ata ma Hashem Elokecha shoel mimcha, says Moshe Rabbeinu on Parsha, Yirat Elokim. He is only asking us a very simple stuff. A fear of God and keep all the mitzvahs. Nachon? It's very easy. Yeah, that's what he's asking us. We have to understand what's the idea behind it. No, this is, this is an impossible request. You want us to do all the mitzvahs and to have the fear of God at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's impossible. But before this, we have to understand where it all comes from. And this is a few psukim that really tells us God is going to give us plenty. We're going to enjoy life. We are going to have everything. What's going to happen then? Veram levavcha. We will start thinking we are big shots. Veshachachta et Hashem Elokecha. And we will forget God. Sounds impossible. But forgetting God is not like as we think. Forgetting God is to realize, understand, en od milvado. There is nothing that God is not doing. And if I think that there is anything that I'm doing, this is already the shachach. Okay. Hamolichacha b'mitbar ha'gadol v'anora, nachash v'sara, pa'akra, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. Ve'amarta bilvavcha. And then comes the unbelievable point when I'm starting to think, kochi ve'otzem yadi asa li tachayir hazeh. I did it. So how do we fight this? And what's the whole idea behind it? What is Veram Levavcha? There is this nice story about this professor who got married the second time, and he was very proud that he's a professor and everything, and his wife was like, normal girl, whatever. And one day they went to camping. No, it's summertime. They went to a camping, took a tent and all the things, putting a tent in the field, and they're going to sleep. In the middle of the night, his wife is waking up. Tell me, what do you see? So he looks up. He says, I see the sky. I see the stars. Okay, and what does he tell you? He says, he tells me that according to the way the star wanted to show off, it's a professor, wanted to show off, according to the stars, it's going to be a very nice day tomorrow. And then, and what else? And also, the weather is going to be quite nice. And what else? And you know what? We are over the middle of the night, and the sun is going to rise. And what else? He says, what else do you want me to tell me? He says, I don't know, you know, from the day I married you, every day you're getting more stupid than the day before. Well, they took our tent. He's seeing the stars, but you were in a tent 2 minutes ago. How can you see the stars? But they took the tent. No tent. What is this about? We enjoy life. Baruch Hashem, we have all the best stuff on the earth. Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. Really, a Jew that keeps kosher, that is religious in this country, in Eretz Israel, he's got everything. Not everything. Let's say, even more than what you need. You know, you go to a supermarket, I'm puzzled. 1%, 1.5%, 1.75%, 3%. What's the difference? You have yogurt like this, the other yogurt, this cheese, the other cheese, 200 cheeses. And they seem to do the same cheese with zero fat, 1%, 0.5%. Baruch Hashem, everything you can. Whatever you want. Cars, roads. Really, if you go around the world and you see things, and you come back to Israel, you understand how advanced we are. Really, this small country did things unbelievable. I don't think there is a quality of life like in Israel in any other place in the world. It costs sometimes more money, but still, very advanced, everything, sophisticated. And sometimes we forget that they took our tent. They took our tent. The temple is not here. So we see the stars, we see all the beautiful things of this world, and you don't realize that the basic things we are missing. Why? V'ram levavcha. It's too good. So we forget. Why did Chazal tell us during the whole year we have to mourn on the temple? Not only the 3 weeks that we went through them, not only Tisha B'Av, but through the whole year round. And if we're talking about Tisha B'Av, by the way, this year I'm still with a very, very, very bad feeling. And then I come to places where I have to worry about how to talk and what to say, because we are so pluralist today. We are so giving up. We are so advanced that we forget the basic thing. V'shachachta et Hashem Elokecha. We forget why we're here. And you know, on Tisha B'Av, which was the 10th of Av, they did a demonstration all over Israel that goes against the laws of the Torah. And I'm not say, like somebody told me, you know, those homos, it's a natural thing. So I say, what if it's natural? We just read now in Vayet Hanan the Ten Commandments. Katuv lo tachmod, it's written lo tachmod. Why is it written? Katuv lo tignov, lo tinaf. All those things. You should not commit adultery. You should not want other things that your friends got. Is it written? Why is it written? Why do you think it's written? Why?
Because people do them.
Because people want to do them. It's nature. So what? So if nature is allowed, the Torah tells you it's not allowed. That's it. Oh, so but it's nature. Okay. God put you in this world, gave you a nature, gave you tools. Fight. That's why you're here. We talked about it 100 times already. We are here for one reason. To get to the level of fear of God. Fear of God, by the way, not what we think. It's not the fear of God. I'm afraid that God is going to punish me. This is a very, very, very low level. We fear God because we understand how good He is. And how He wants all the best for us. That He loves us so much that whatever He does is only for our benefit. Now, if you realize this, you understand that God wants you to win your part in Gan Eden, the part in Olam Haba. So for this, He put you in this world and put inside you nature, desires, Yetzer Hara, in other words. Yetzer Hara is with us. So if He is with us, we can do whatever the Yetzer Hara wants to do? Of course not. So it doesn't matter if it's the gay. And by the way, you know that in last Haftarah you had, it was written about it. Kol gay inaseh. Did you write it? Did you read it? That's written in the Haftarah of Shabbos. Kol gay, every gay in Aseh will rise up. Mitzad ha-gaava. Kol gay is mina avali. But you want to read it, it says kol gay in Aseh. That's what's written. Whatever is, we have to understand. So they decide, in the word of the tolerant, shivyon schuyot, when do they do this? On a day that so many disasters happened to Am Yisrael. And you know, as we talked before, Hitler, Yimach Shimo VeZichro, he didn't make a definition between Jew, legally Jew, according to the Jewish law, gay, lesbian, religious, not religious, Hasidic, Mitnadek. Did he do? No. So how dare you open shops on Erev Tisha B'Av and put a sign on it? And how dare you do a demonstration like this on Tisha B'Av? But the day after, in the morning, what happened? A stone fell down from the wall. You tell me. Do you need any other signs? Where did it fall?
In the egalitarian section of the court.
You tell me. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I cannot understand what's happened. You tell me.
Be careful.
I'm careful all the time. If I'll say what I think, I don't know what's going to happen. But, you see, this is exactly the point. Even Mikir Tizak, says to the prophet Habakkuk. Even Mikir Tizak. And I wrote about it on Shabbos. And I talked about it. You see, I never understood what's the meaning of a stone will cry from the wall. So this week I understood. It fell down. This is like
200
people. I think it's 400, somebody said, told me. Whatever it is, if somebody, if this lady that was davening there was 1 meter near, 1.5 meter on the left, she wouldn't be with us today. So, the feeling is hard. What's happening to us? The thing is, we have to read the parasha and see what's happening to us. It's too good. We have it, Bo Hashem, God is given. That's another interesting question we talked about. Vaya ekev tishmu. The Torah is telling us, Vaya ekev tishmu. What is ekev tishmu? If you listen to God, then you will get what? Look at the blessing, unbelievable blessing. Wow, wow, wow. And we are asking ourselves, 1 minute. Do we worship God for the reward? Do we? Al tiyu ka'avadim hamshamshim et harav al menat lekabel pras. Don't be like slave that do things for the master to get rewarded. So how does this go with Shema Yisrael? I'll give you rain, I'll give you everything if you listen to God. So, should we worship God for the reward? Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Israel and he says very clearly, you know what? Why I want to go in? To keep the mitzvahs of the Eretz Israel. And God tells him, why do you need it? I'll give you the reward for the mitzvahs. Again, what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to Eretz Israel, he wants to go to Eretz Israel to get a reward. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what's in mind. It's a very important issue because sometimes we think, talking about sachar ve'onesh, punishment and a reward, that really this world is all about sachar ve'onesh. Wrong. This world is only one thing. Ma Hashem lokecha shoel mimcha, liirat Hashem lokecha, and then comes the love. Because this fear is, has to lead to love. Because the idea is to love God. What does it mean? When God rewards me, do I love the reward, or do I love the one who gave me the reward? What do you think? Who should I love? What should I love? The one who gave me the reward, God. Our Abishter, the God, our Father in heaven. Not the reward. In other words, so what's the idea? Why is he giving us a reward? If we don't worship God and don't keep the mitzvah for the reward, why is he giving us a reward? Why do you think? Why is he giving us a reward? Who needs it? Don't give a reward. We'll worship you because we love you. Parents, when their kids do good things, what do they want to do? Reward them. If your kid does a good thing and it goes in your footsteps, so you want to reward him. In other words, it's not that you need to reward him. You want to reward him. And Father in heaven is unbelievable. Like we're talking about love. God is the one. So he loves us so much that he wants to give us a reward. But in order for him to give us a reward, we have to do something. We have to keep the mitzvahs. But then when he gives us the reward, we don't worship or love the reward. We love God that gave us a reward. Yes?
You have to appreciate the source.
That's what we're talking about.
No.
Where did the reward come from?
Someone gives us a gift. Thank you very much. We're supposed to remember not the gift, but the source.
That's what I said.
I understand.
That's what I, exactly. I love, don't love the gift. I love the one who gave me the gift. And that's exactly that. So,
why can't you love both?
I understand you. I understand you. Just this morning we talked about, it's a very interesting idea about why was the second temple destroyed? Why? Sinat Chinam. Everybody knows it. How did they get to Sinat Chinam? I haven't got it here. It's a shame. And Vetem Chelkeinu today, he writes a beautiful thing. He says, you see, the first temple was destroyed because Avodah Zarah, Giluy Arayot, Shfichut Damim. We all know. Second temple means that they knew everything. They did everything right. They did all the mitzvahs, kept all the words. They learned Torah, everything. So what was the problem? Sinat Chinam. How do people that keep all the mitzvahs get to Sinat Chinam? I'll tell you how. I saw a lot of people that can be tzaddikim, it's not tzaddikim, but they look like tzaddikim and they behave like tzaddikim. But when it comes to money, Oy va avoy. That all behavior is being changed. He says there that because of ahavat mammon, because loving money, they got to sinat chinam. How do you get from loving money to hate your fellow man? Because if you love money so much, and this is like, say, your idol, money, it means it's more important than anything else. So if everybody else got your money, yes, right? Because you love money. So if everybody else got money, it hurts you. Well, why does it have money? Huh? I want the money. I want it. I want the possession. I want the car. I want the house. I want everything. I want it. And this, you can keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah and learn Torah and still be a rasha merusha. Sinat chinam. Because you put possession on top of everything. And this leads to sinat chinam. It's a very interesting idea. By the way, I never saw it till this morning. Never thought about it. But if you think about it, you will see that a lot of our problems are caused from this thing. You know, when somebody is very successful, what do we say? You heard your friend is very successful. Unbelievable. What do you say?
Very smart.
Yes, you are a good guy. A lot of people will say, he stole. He did monkey business. He did that. How can you get so rich? He must do on his way some naughty things.
Yeah.
A shtick. Yes, exactly. So, don't we think like this sometimes? Why? Can't we think that he honestly did his money because he was very clever? Can't we think like this? Sometimes, yes. Which means you're already on the right side. But unfortunately, sometimes, especially if it's a friend that we learned together in school and we grew together, and he, let's say, wasn't exactly the brilliant guy of class, and suddenly you hear, wow, he's got everything. And you, okay, but not like he, what he's got. What do you think? What do you feel? It's all a big test. So the Torah is telling us, Vaya ekev tishmu, if you listen to God, you will not get rewarded. This is not a reward, by the way, what we're talking about. What is? When you go to, today, a lot of firms, especially high-tech firms, when you go in today, what do you see all around? Coffee machines, cakes, fruits, they have lunch, they have dinner, they have breakfast, they have a gym, they have sometimes swimming pools. They have the best working condition in the world. You agree with me?
Yeah.
So, is this salary? No, it's working condition. You, at the end of the month, will get the salary. It doesn't matter if you ate 3 cakes or 100 cakes. If you had 200 coffees, or you went to the gym half the day or whole the day, as long as you do your job, at the end of the month, you get the salary. Right or wrong? In other words, whatever I get in the day that I work is working condition. It's not a salary. Tna'ei avoda. That's what it is. In other words, why are they giving us those tna'ei avoda? Why do they give us, or why do you give to your employees all those unbelievable conditions? Why?
We want them to love you.
No, we're talking about money. We want them to love you.
You know, like their job.
And you know that you're going to get at the end of the month more production. If the worker is satisfied, got good condition, he can do much more than he's not satisfied. So your idea is, I'm going to give my worker everything that he will have the best environment to do the job. That's what it's all about. It's not because the boss loves all the workers, it's because the boss wants more results. So he gives you all the best condition in the world in order to get the results. The same thing is with God. 1 minute. There's a small difference. God is doing it from love. Not like the boss here. God is doing it for love for us, because whatever we do and produce in this world, not God is getting. Who is getting it? We.
Don't forget the very first thing he told us. The very first question. God says, I'm going to do all these things for you, and eventually you'll think you're doing it for yourself. So it's a problematic, God's in an impossible position. If he wants to create a nice environment for you, it's almost, people are more religious when they have a lousy environment. As if, when someone's very poor, he tends to value more for God. When someone is sick, he's suddenly begging God for help.
So what?
He's rich and he has everything, it's hard to get him to.
Very nice what you say. So I'm going to ask you a question. So if you would be, have God, How would you do the world this world? You will give everybody lousy life? That's what you will do?
I don't know what
I'd ask you something. If you have to do a job and you have lousy conditions, and then the same job, somebody else got the best condition in the world, who is going to do a better job?
The
one with the better
conditions.
So what you say, I'm saying.
Wait, unless we have lousy conditions,
yes.
Is like he just has barely enough for bread and maybe a piece of cheese, maybe a chicken, and Shaban's got a family. He's gonna work very hard because he's out of a job, he's finished, he's dead.
I'm not talking about working hard or results. When you have Ishana, Dirana, Kelimnai, Marchivin, Ta'ato, Sheladam. You know, this is our problem, by the way. What you say is a big problem because a lot of people think that in order to be a scholar, to be a tzaddik, you have to suffer. A lot of people think like this. Wrong. God doesn't want us to suffer. God wants us to enjoy life. Nevertheless, one of the Gemara says, if you come up there, God is going to ask you, did you use everything I gave you? Did you eat this fruit that I gave you? No? Why not? I created this world for whom? For whom did God create it? For us! To use it! But that's exactly the point. Whatever we get in this world is tna'ei avodah in order to do the job better. Not for God, for us. In other words, we are approaching HaChodesh Elul. And we are going to ask God to give us all the good things of the world. And now the point is, how are we going to ask it? In what way? If we're going to ask it from the egoistic point of view, I just want to enjoy life, why not? Or as a reward, wrong. But what you can ask and should ask, and Bezrat Hashem get, is better work condition. But God is going to look at you and says, 1 minute. Last year I gave you health, money, wife, house, children. What did you do with it? Mitzvahs? Okay. Next year you're going to get double. Okay? But, 1 minute. The money you used, I don't want even to talk what you used it for. But for definitely gambling. Not for the good. Gambling, for example. The house was a house of princes. You did parties in your house, and they were not exactly what the parties I like. And then we can go on and on. So, God loves us. Why? So he's not going to give us the same tools next year? Of course not. Why? Because he loves us. The same way as your kid comes to you, I want another sweet after he had already 200 sweets. You're going to give him a sweet? Then you can take him to hospital. So of course you're not going to give him. So the same thing is, God is going to give us the best tools for us. In other words, as you said, sometimes the tools are poverty. Yes, what can you do? This guy doesn't understand. The only way he's going to function is if he hasn't got money, if he hasn't got health, then he's going to realize that there is a God and he's going to start praying and doing good things. Nahon, but we don't want this. I'm sure that nobody here wants this. We want to be healthy, we want to be rich, we want to have all the good stuff of this world. But why do we want it? As work condition. Because our job is going to be done much better if we have good tools. In other words, if God gave us this year all this beautiful thing, all this beautiful family and health and everything, we should use it to do what? To worship God. And then God is going to give us Bezrat Hashem, the same thing, and even more, because we use the tool in the right way. In other words, when we say Vaya Ekev Tishuva, what's God telling us? God is telling you, listen, if you will do the mitzvahs, you keep them, I will give you all the best condition in the world. Yes. You don't have to leave Israel, you can say.
Sorry. Yes. Israel, yes. But the individual, there's no guarantee any individual, because exactly all the mitzvahs, he's tzedakah in an early way, with nothing to fall on his head the next day. With his whole family destroyed, whatever, plus the shock is going to happen. No guarantees. We all know people, we're great people, service, right? There's no guarantee an individual, as Klai Yisrael is true.
So first of all, we have to...
As individuals, you can't, I don't think one can predict
present my work and explain.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. It's very clever what you're saying, but let's think in the eyes of God. Let's think a little about it. Because our problem is that what we do is like, a few times I use this. You look in the hole of the key, and what do you see? You see a guy sticking a knife into another guy. You break the door, you want to save the guy. He's killing you. And you find yourself in an operation room. And they're saving the life of this guy. And they have to cut a part of his body in order to save him. So in other words, God is going to give you the right tool for you. Exactly what you said. In other words, what we see all around, we don't know what we see. If we would have known what we've seen, believe me, we would walk the whole day with a smile on our face because we see the goodness of God. One of the 13 things that we say in Midot Rachamim, what is? Hashem, Hashem, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Hapayim V'Rav Chesed? Emet. Emet? What is Emet doing with Chesed? What does Emet to do with Chesed? You tell me. What's the Emet? Truth. Truth is Chesed? I'm asking, but we say it every day. What is Emet? Because the real truth is what? That God is only good. So they say, the Rav Shimshon Pinkus, the Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal, he says that God is dripping drops of truth for us to see in between the goodness of God, even in the worst times. And that's the truth. Because the truth is that God is good. The truth is that even if you see this tzaddik suffering, it's good. You don't understand what it's all about. For example, we're talking about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is going, they're killing him. Rabbi Akiva! And they're cutting his flesh with an iron comb. Can you even think about a torture like this? What is Rabbi Akiva saying? All my life I waited for this. All your life, that's what you waited for? But you see, Rabbi Akiva got to a level that he is not here. He got to a level that whatever he got here, he understood that it's going to get him a much better place in the eyes of God. Not talking about reward, because we said that's we're not worshiping God for a reward, but because the love of God is, when do you show your love? When it's good or when it's bad? When? When is the best time that you see that this guy loves me? You know, I had a cousin. He had around 50 restaurants here in Israel. Pizzeria Rimini, if you remember, Uncle Sam Hamburger, Uncle Sam Ice Cream, Macau, Balloon on the Tayelet in Tel Aviv, a lot of restaurants all over Israel. And this guy was, let's say, not exactly a tzaddik, but he was like a playboy, and everybody used him. He lived in Germany for quite a few years, and he was the king of the restaurants of Hamburg. In Germany. And all the Israelis that came there, they all were sleeping in his house, enjoying his hospitality, and unbelievable. He died, unfortunately, from the disease a few years ago. You know how many people were in the death palace? You know? He had thousands of friends. You know how many people? Hardly a million. Only the family. And maybe one or two friends. Those are not friends. But that's exactly the point. The point is to understand and realize that when we look at life, in what eyes do we look at life? You know, they tell this story about this guy came to Paris, took him to the Louvre, and he's showing this very important visitor all the pictures, and he goes around, kishkush. All the biggest artists of the world, kishkush. This guy looks at him and says, this guy's face is crazy. And kishkush. So suddenly he sees that this guy is wearing glasses. He says, let me see your glasses. And he finds out the glasses are scratched all around and you cannot see anything right through those glasses. So he gave him new glasses and suddenly, unfortunately, our glasses are scratched. We don't see the right picture. We think, kishkush, kishkush, kishkush. The only way to look at this world is the eye of the Torah. That's why God is telling you. If you use my tools right, you're going to get all the best stuff of this world in order to do better. Mitzvah, goreret, mitzvah. That's the reward.
That's the only reward in this world. That one mitzvah you do is going to lead to a next mitzvah. In other words, if I use the tools right, I'm going to get tools to do another mitzvah. Mitzvah goreret mitzvah. Unfortunately, if I do wrong, God is going to change the tools. What can we do? Because, yes, as an individual, you have a problem. And by the way, talking about the klal, Amisra as a klal, and as an individual, of course, one of the basic things is never be alone. Never. The whole idea of our religion, our tradition, is Am Yisrael is one. One means we are built from a lot of individuals that stick together, that want to help each other. That's Am Yisrael. I don't know if I told you this story. The owner of Starbucks, international chain of coffee house places all over the world. He's Jewish. He just now recently resigned and gave somebody else to run the business. And he was involved in a very interesting story. A few years ago, they wanted to do a survey in the States to find out how do you get rich? How do you get rich? You want to find, a recipe. How to get rich? A formula, yes. So they went around and they chose, 50 very rich people in the States, and they sent students there to be with them for half a year and see what they do the whole day. And from this, they have the formula that can suit everybody, because you take 50 millionaires, billionaires, and then you combine everything together and you have a formula how to get rich. The result was very simple. Most of the people were dealing most of the day. How? How do you do money? You have competition. No, you have competition. So what you do mainly? Fight a competition. You fight a competition. That's what you do. You want to be successful. You have to be the one on top. So you have to fight the competition all the time. But they got to one guy who didn't fight with nobody. They checked again and again and again. Yes, the student says, no, we saw what he's doing all day. Nothing to it. He doesn't care about the competition. They couldn't believe it. So they sent a few professors to this guy office and asked him, we want to interview you. So they came to him and says, we want to understand. We did a survey and we found out that the only one that doesn't fight with his competitors is you. Please explain. He says, a few years ago, we had a tour. We always look for new places to open shops. So we had a tour with all the big shots of the company. And we went, one of the tours was to Israel. We went to see if we can open there a place. And they go around Israel and they see all the stuff. And the last day, the guy tells them, now I'm going to take you to the highlight of your tour. They all thought he's going to show them some archaeology thing or whatever. They're in Jerusalem. And he takes them to a building. He says, oh, see this big building? He says, go down. He says, this institute, I don't remember how many, at that time, I think, where there are around, 10,000 students or something. The number are not so important. So it's also that I understand that. And I want to ask you, before we go in, what space do you think that an institute that's got 10,000 students needs? And how many staff, managers, and let's say also they sleep in here. So what is the size of a place like this and the manpower? So they did calculation, they come with those unbelievable figures. You need 20,000 square meter, you need this, and you need 200 people as a staff, and you need the management at least 50 people, whatever. He says, okay. You see, this is Yeshivat Mir. In this building, which is 3,000 meters, you have 10,000 students sleeping, eating, and learning. They go in, and they see in every corner somebody's learning, and they don't even look at them when they go in. You know, normally you go someplace, and they're all looking for an excuse to raise, we have visitors. And then I want to ask you, before we go to the management officers, how many officers do you think there are here? For the management. Everybody throws a number. So there is one office, another room. And you know, the management, how many people? One. what's his name, the Rav, do you remember the name of the
Shmulevich?
No, not Shmulevich, it's the one who suffered, was very ill all his life. What is his name? I forgot his name. I've got a problem with his name. Whatever, what? Mir Yeshiva. I don't remember the name. No, okay. And I'm going to out. This is one guy. He decides what you learn. He controls everything. And he also teaches some of the lessons. And he's got one office. And by the way, he is a very ill person. But don't worry about it. He also talks, he's originally from the States, and he talks English, no problem. And you can ask him whatever you want. They go into the office, and they see this guy, which is Rav, and he's learning. So he closed the Gemara, says, and they see that he doesn't look very good. And he comes, this guy called him and says, I want to ask you something. How? How do you do this? And he told him, you see, there is a basic thing in Judaism, which is called Rahavta Lerecha Kamocha. When you want to give to the others, there is space much more than when you want to take. When you want to take, there is no space enough. But here in our yeshiva, everybody wants to help to his brother. Everybody wants to give to the other. This is the Gemara, famous Gemara, that at a certain time there were 3 or 4 students learning with one talis, underneath one talis. How can you do this? When you want to give, everybody gives. And everybody gives, there is space for everybody. He says, the words of the Rosh Yeshiva went into my heart. And this was the general manager of... How do you say? What's the of Starbucks? And from this day on, regardless what his father told him, you have to fight the competition all the time if you want to be successful. He stopped fighting with the competition. And you know the amazing thing is, he didn't lose one penny. On the contrary. Is one of the most successful, I think, chain of coffee places in the whole world. Like for China, for example, when you go in every second street, you have another Starbucks. In Europe, you have Starbucks everywhere. Everywhere you go. And this guy built his business without fighting with the competition. Can you believe this? If you don't believe it, it's our facts. You can look, Google it in Google, and find out the real truth about it. The thing is, everything is from arrogant. Kochi ve'otzem yadi. The minute we will understand and realize that everything is from God. And we will realize also that God loves us. And God wants us to enjoy life. He doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to have the best tools in the world. So what I would ask, and I'm sure that you all will ask, the best tools that we can. We don't want to be poor, chas v'shalom. We don't want, chas v'shalom, to be sick or ill. We want to be healthy. We want to be well. We want to have money. We want to have a good family. We want to have everything. And this way we should have it. We should ask everything from God as, not as a reward. You give us the best tools and we will show you how we worship you. How we do the best job in the world. And Yirat Hashem is the meaning. What is the problem? Somebody doesn't understand who God is. If it doesn't understand who God is, a geek can worship God only from the fear. A real fear. But if he starts learning Yirat Hashem, hi chokhmah. The wisdom is to know who God is. Then when you know who God is, your fear is the right fear. You understand how great he is and how good he does. But if you don't learn, you know nothing. So that's exactly somebody who his level is fearing God because of the punishment should start learning. When you start learning who God is and whatever, with all the things, good things he does for you, then you will find out that this is the best thing that ever been in this world, and God is a loving father that loves us so much that you will start have the right fear, and from this you will come to the love of God, and when we come to the love of God, everything is open. And Bezrat Hashem, if we love God, the stones are not going to fall from the wall, but they're going to get back into the wall, and the Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi is going to be built b'mehra b'yameinu, amen.
Hello. Okay.